Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Today we're going to talk about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved. That false doctrine goes something like this. Once you are saved, meaning once you have accepted Jesus Christ by faith, for the remission of your sins, you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you've received the promise and down payment of eternal life, that once you've been saved, you'll always be saved. It's guaranteed. Nothing you can do can take away that salvation. Well, that is a false doctrine, my friends. It is clearly repudiated by Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 10, and 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, it is a true statement that salvation comes by faith. No question about that. And what that means is, again, that we have to accept God's gift of Jesus' death for the remission of our sins. We have to accept by faith God's gift of Jesus' life for our righteousness, because when Jesus walked on this earth, He lived a perfectly righteous life. He never transgressed God's law. He never sinned. So we have to accept God's gift of Jesus' life so that His righteousness can be imputed to us. And we have to accept by faith God's gift of Jesus' resurrected life so that we can have eternal life. If God resurrected Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, then He is going to resurrect us. No amount of works whatsoever of our own could ever bring about salvation. Absolutely a true statement. No amount of works that we do whatsoever could ever bring about salvation. It is a free gift from God. We don't work for it. It's free. But, and here's a big but, once we have God's free gift, we can throw it away. We can forfeit God's gift. We can tell God, in effect, by our unrighteous deeds, by our deliberate sin, by our obstinance, by our hard-heartedness, we can tell God, we don't want your salvation. We don't want your way of life. You can have it. And if we say that to God by our attitude and our actions, then what can God do? He's not going to give us eternal life with that type of attitude. He's going to give us eternal death, the second death, being burned up in hell fire. Now let's turn to the scriptures to prove that our works can cause us to forfeit our salvation. This is in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 12, where we're going to read first. Concerning those who were once enlightened, notice that it's addressed to people who are Christians, who have accepted God's gift by faith. Concerning those who were once enlightened, those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, it is impossible to renew these people again to repentance if they fall away, seeing they crucify the Son of God again for themselves. All right, I'm going to read that again so that you get that. For all of those people who have been enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance after they have fallen away. Why? Because they have crucified the Son of God again for themselves. Now, how do we fall away, and how do we crucify the Son of God again? Well, how do we crucify the Son of God the first time? It was by transgressing God's law. Sin is the transgression of God's law. In other words, we disobey God. Our works cause the death of Jesus the Christ. So our works will cause the death of Jesus Christ again if we have already first repented of that and said we're going to turn away from a sinful way of life and turn toward a way of obedience to God by faith, if we've made that commitment, but then we fall away, meaning that we turn away from God and turn back to sin, then God says it's impossible to grant us repentance all over again, to go through that whole process, because we've already repented once. We've already tasted of the heavenly gift. We've already tasted of the good word of God, and we spit it out of our mouths. We've said, that tastes nasty. I don't want that anymore. Well, if it tastes nasty, then how is it going to be made to taste good again? So God says that he cannot renew us again to repentance, because now our works have crucified the Son of God all over again. And he gives an example to prove this in verse 7 and 8. The example is this: for the land which has drunk the rain that comes often upon it, if it brings forth a crop that's suitable for them whose sake it is tilled, then this person receives a blessing from God. But on the other hand, if this land bears thorns and thistles, then that fruit is going to be rejected. The fruit and the land is going to be cursed by being burned up. The example should be obvious. If we bear good fruit, that's one thing. That's a blessing. But if we bear bad fruit, then that's another thing. That's a curse. And if we bear that bad fruit, we're going to be burned. And this burning is being burnt up in the lake of fire. But in verse 9, it says, but beloved, we are persuaded of better things for you and things that accompany salvation. Notice that that's the subject, salvation, even though we have spoken like this, giving you these examples and warnings. But God is not unrighteous so as to forget your work and the labor of love which you show toward his name. We desire that each one of you may show the same diligence to the fullness of hope, even to the end. And that's what God wants, is for us to continue doing these good works to the end, because these good works show that we believe that God's way of life is the best way of life to live. After all, if Eve would have believed God, then she would have obeyed God. But because she disbelieved God, she disobeyed God. The type of faith that God is looking for is the faith that is coupled with works. Faith without works is dead. I will show you my faith by my works. If I believe God, I'm going to obey God. And that's what he's saying here. So now let's go on to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to read in verses 23 through 39. This is Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 23 through 39. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. So he's saying hold fast, hold on tight to it, don't let it go. In other words, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now notice this next part in verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Same thing that we saw previously. But notice here that the emphasis is on sinning deliberately, sinning willfully, after we have received the knowledge of truth. So I'm not talking about if we sin because of a weakness. All of us are going to sin. We've accepted, all true Christians have accepted God's gift of salvation by faith. And we, if we're true Christians, we have determined that we're going to follow God. But sometimes, because of the downward pull of our flesh, then we might sin, but then we would go on and repent again. This is talking about the type of hard-hearted, willful, deliberate, constant sin. This way of life that is a way of sinning. If we live that way of life after we have received the knowledge of the truth, then there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but instead a fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. Now notice again, God gives us two examples. A man who disregards the law of Moses dies without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. That's the first example. Now the second example. How much more worse punishment do you think he will be judged worthy of who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified an unholy thing? What he's saying here clearly is that the people's works in the Old Testament caused them death if they sinned. Here God is saying that if our works cause us death, it's going to be the second death, because our works, if we sin, we're sinning against the Son of God. We are trodding underfoot the Son of God. We're trampling on the blood of the covenant. That's what saves us. So if we throw that away, if we treat it as though it's an unholy thing, then what else can God do to save us? That's all that God can offer us, is his Son, Jesus Christ. That's everything. So if we throw that away, if we reject that, then there remains no more sacrifice for sins. That's it, friends. So do not throw that away. And that's what he goes on to say here in verse 31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but remember the former days in which, after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Therefore, don't throw away your boldness. Don't throw away your boldness, which has a great reward. For you need endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In a very little while, he who comes will come and will not delay. So the righteous must live by faith, and this is the faith that proves itself by works. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the saving of the soul. And now the last scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 20 through 22. This is 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 20 through 22. If after they have escaped the defilements of the world, how? By the knowledge of the Lord and our Savior Yeshua the Messiah, if after they have escaped the defilements of the world, they are again entangled in them and overcome by these defilements, then the last state has become worse for them than the first state. Now, why is that? Because the first state, all have sinned, and all of us have to die the first death. But the type of sin that is the stubborn type of sin, that is this hard-hearted type of sin that occurs after we have repented and escaped the defilements of the world, that type of sin leads to eternal death, the second death. And then finishing up in verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a pig, after bathing, returns to wallowing in the mud. Brothers and sisters, let us not be like that. Let us be the type of Christian that, once saved, will guarantee our salvation, because we won't throw it away by our evil deeds. We will prove that we have accepted the salvation by faith. We will prove that we believe that God's way of life is the best way of life, and we will do it by following all of God's commandments. And we can only do this if God is in us. And that's why I like to end every program by saying, let God be in you.